Revelation chapter number 21. We're going to read verse number 1 down to verse number 5 this morning. Revelation 21, verse number 1 down to verse number 5. If you're able to, let's stand as we read our scriptures just in respect to the Word of God. It says this, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." I always pause there. Don't you love that part? I've preached on it a lot, that there's no more sea. God just puts that right in the very first description of how eternity is going to be. And I think one of the reasons for that is because he said our sins are cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And the first description of heaven is there's no more sea. Even the sea is gone. Amen. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. And I pray that, Lord, you would just open your word. May the Spirit of God speak to us this morning. And I pray that he, as the teacher, would open our hearts and minds and show us, and God, that we might grow and learn thereby. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation, please. Lord, I pray they would just step out, even now, even during the preaching, they would not wait to get this settled. Lord, I pray that God, you just speak to believers' hearts today. May we find great comfort in the Word of God today and strengthen us for the week ahead of us. And we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and in verse number 4, that there is a time to weep and a time to mourn. This world is full of tears. Now, I enjoy being happy. I enjoy trying to make others happy. I enjoy, finding humor in things. I like when my wife is happy. Every man should say amen there, right? We like when our wives are happy. We like when the people around us are happy. When we do activities at school, I like for them to be happy. I was telling the basketball team, we're struggling this year. We're just struggling. Pray for us. But we're struggling. And I told them, I said, you guys just aren't, you need to enjoy it. They're not having fun. That's kind of the point to me. Enjoy it too. But I like for people to enjoy when we have activities and retreats and we do different things. I want to be a time of memories and time of joy, and I like to hear people laughing. Yet in this world, there's a whole lot of tears. Unfortunately, a lot of times when people need to come and see me, they usually don't sit across the desk and start laughing. Matter of fact, I don't think that's ever happened. But there's been a lot of times because of a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and a lot of suffering that there's a lot of tears. I try to be an optimist. That's kind of the way I am. The way I look at things. I'm a glass is half full kind of person. I try to find the good in everything. I try to think how we can turn this around and make it in a positive thing. That's the way I am. I married the opposite. My wife is not that way. She's a pessimist. The glass is always half empty. Things are, she calls herself a realist. I just look at her and say, no, you're depressing is what you are, right? But she thinks, and she would be nodding. That's the way that she looks at things. And I grew up, my dad always taught me, he's just being a dude, right? Being a guy. Growing up, if I ever cried, and I was a crier when I was a little kid. I was a little boy. I was a crier. My dad couldn't stand that either. And he said, he'd always ask me, I started crying. He'd say, who died? Nobody. Are you hurt? No. Then hush up. Right? That's what he always said. Don't cry. Then there's a time to cry. There's a time to weep, without a doubt. The Bible says so. But I like to be a positive person. I like to be a happy person. When I got married, I found out that ladies cry a lot. A lot. When we first got married, I'd say, what's wrong? And I was thinking, I'm failing as a husband. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And I'd say, why are you crying? And she'd look at me, because I feel like it. I didn't understand that. I've come to learn to understand that, but I don't understand. Why are you crying? I just need to. We need to. It just don't make sense to me. But, I talked to my wife yesterday. There was, one of our daughters was having a sad day, and she was crying. And I said, I just don't get this. And she looked at me and said, well, us women is what makes the world interesting. Well, I'll give that to you, I guess, right? We're made differently. We when Alex was born, he was a crier. He cried. That kid cried constantly. And I look at my wife and say, why is he crying? She'd say, I don't know, no reason. Then he needs to stop. I don't enjoy people sad being around. I want people to be happy. I think it's one of the reasons why when we get to heaven, in heaven, everyone's always referred to in the masculine. Otherwise, there'd be tears, right? Never mind. I'm kidding. Some of you are mad at me. I'm kidding, right? That was all a joke, all right? But the fact is this, all right? Some of you just you turned me off, right? That was all a joke, right? But the fact is this, all right? There is a time to cry. There is a time to weep. And I want to tell you about three places this morning. And when it comes to tears. And I want to tell you, number one, a place where there is a great deal of crying. And a place where there is a great deal of crying is right here in this world. There is a lot of hurt in this world. There's a lot of pain in this world. God made a world out of beauty. God made this world. It is a beautiful place. You look at creation and all that God did, the sunrise, the sunset, the flowers, and the mountains, and all that God has done. It is just a place of beauty. Yet, there is so much pain and so much crying, so much weeping. Now, why? And the answer is this, quite a few things, but number one is because of sin. Sin brings suffering. I think of whenever Peter, when he denied Christ. He was the one when the Lord said, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said, I will never deny you. I will follow you. I will never, never turn away from you. And of course, throughout the night, three different occasions, he denied knowing the Lord and even cursed. And then the Bible says that the Lord was passing by and his eyes looked and were fixed upon Peter. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. You see, sin brings tears. Sin brings crying. Sin brings hurt. You want to know why there's so much hurt, so much crying, so much weeping, so much just anguish going on? Is because sin runs rampant in our society. And even those, the world out there, many do not realize it, but sin brings depression. Sin brings hurt. The statistics of how much, anti-depression is out there and I know there are needs out there, but the fact is a lot of it is because when you live contrary to this book, when you live in a world, in a society, and you involve yourself in things that just is dark, And anguish, and your entertainment is murder, your music is darkness, and all this stuff, it will bring a depression in your life. A hurt in your life. The fact of all the abuse that goes on in this world. And no matter what kind of abuse that's out there, it's all wicked, it's all terrible, and it's all because of sin. sin. You see, sin is what has cursed this world. And one of the curses of sin is weeping and sorrow and hurting. That's why when we get to heaven someday, the tears are wiped away because sin is totally removed. But there's sin. There's a whole lot. There's so many people. The years that I've been pastoring and before that and working with young people and families, people come and their hearts are broken. You see teenagers just holding their face with tears running down their cheeks. You see young people turning to a life of darkness. Everything is dark and depressing. Loneliness. It's all a result of sin. This world is full of sin, and with it comes weeping. This world is full of suffering. There's so much suffering, and because of the suffering, there are tears. And we Christians are not exempt from that. We still, as believers, live in a world that is cursed by all the fall. And because of that, there is suffering. And the suffering brings tears. People are hurt, betrayed. There are times that we go through difficulties, sickness. How many bedsides we've stood by with bad reports from doctors and tears begin to flow and build up in tears in loved ones' eyes. You see, that's this world. We can't escape this. There's separation and death. We had, as a church, we've had so many funerals in the last 2 years. There's been a lot of tears shed here in this auditorium. The loved ones we're going to miss. This world that we live in, there's many tears. There's so many, even in positive ways, and we go and we pray for those that we love that maybe are hurting or those that are straying away, and we shed tears out of a burden. Even when Jesus looked over Israel, and you remember, Jesus, the Bible says he looked over Israel, he wept. Tears went down the Son of God's face as he thought about souls. When Jesus approached there the grave of his friend Lazarus, there were tears. We live in a world today where there are many tears because we live in a sin-cursed world. Here is a great deal of crying. But let me tell you about a place where there is nothing but crying. The Bible teaches in Matthew chapter number 24 that hell is a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping. I had someone tell me just the other day, they were talking about salvation. They said, I don't want to get saved because I know my family's in hell and I want to go where they are. And the reality is this, that I know what your family is saying. There is a man in the scriptures, not a parable, but a true story, who died and went to hell. And you know what he cried out? Someone tell my brothers that they come not to this place. And you know what he was doing? He was crying out, the Bible says, being tormented in this flame. Hell is a place where there is only weeping. There is never a time of laughter in hell. Never a time of joy in hell. Never a time of partying in hell. There is never a time of any sort of respite at all in hell. In hell is a place of torment. In hell is a place of an eternal weeping. In this world, there's a time to weep, but there's a time to rejoice. There's a time to cry and there's a time to dance, the Bible says. We see all these different things we go through in this world. But those who will choose to die and go to hell, there are no times of laughter, no times of joy. There is only weeping. There are only tears. I'm so thankful that God has delivered me from that place called hell. I'm glad I'm not heading towards a future of constant weeping. Listen to me, there are no smiles in hell. There are no giggles in hell. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but the devil himself fears hell. The world kind of paints a picture where the devil sits on some throne in hell holding some sort of scepter, and like that's his domain. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil doesn't dwell in hell. He fears hell. Hell is a place where no one is looking forward to friends and family joining them. There have been songs written about the party that may go on in hell. There will be no parties in hell. Hell is a place of weeping. Why? Basically for two reasons, because of torments. Look over real quick in Luke chapter number 16 and see this with me, what I'm referring to. In Luke chapter number 16 and in verse number 22, Luke 16 and verse number 22, it says this, "And it came to pass, the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Hell is a place of only weeping, nothing but crying because of the torments. My friends, I don't get any joy out of this. There is no part of me that likes talking about this. But because I love you and I care, I look at you eyeball to eyeball this morning and tell you that hell is real. Hell is not something you experience on earth. Hell is not just a feeling or an emotion or a thought. Hell is a literal place where the Bible teaches that there is a tormenting flame, where the worm dieth not, where there is constant weeping and gnashing of teeth because of the torments that are experienced in hell. It is a place of utter darkness. The only sounds that will be heard in hell is the crying out and the weeping of those who are being tormented in the flame. Hell is a terrible place. You know, in my life, I've been burnt a few times. You know, I was joking around. I still have I call it my boo-boos. I was cooking dinner the other night because I'm trying to be a good husband, right? I was cooking some salmon. If you ever want good salmon, I hook you up, all right? I was making my salmon, and I burnt myself. And I got like this little bitty, it's probably an eighth of an inch little red blister I got. Man, I made the most out of that. I made it, as much as I could. And did you know that my wife the next week, like seriously burnt herself? She was getting a pot out of the oven, and she has like this huge little, and I was like, "You had to outdo me, didn't you?" She was like, "I know, right?" But man, I know this little bitty thing on my finger right here, it hurt. Yes, sir. I mean, it hurt. My wife was in a lot of pain. I mean, she had a really bad burn. We doctored it up and kept it, we wrapped it. We tried to do our best to make sure it didn't get infected and things. It hurts. I remember my sister Crystal one time. I was playing. We were kids, little kids. And I had my He-Man. Everybody remember He-Man? Right? I had my He-Man. It wasn't a doll, action figure, right? And my He-Man was fighting Skeletor. And Skeletor took a hostage, my sister's Barbie, and placed the Barbie upon our kerosene heater, right? I didn't know. I was just playing. I just knew it was a bad thing. My sister come running in there, and she grabbed it. She burned her hand really bad. Had to go to the hospital. And even though we were just little bitty kids, I will never forget the scream that Crystal let out when she put her hand on top of that kerosene heater. Which is nothing to the terribleness of the sound that will be in hell one day. As the thousands of damned souls will be crying out because there is no relief. There is no hope. They'll be crying out in pain. You see, hell is a place of nothing but crying because of the torments and this, because of the thoughts. Verse number 25, but Abraham said, talking to this rich man in hell, son, look at that next word. What did he say to that rich man? Remember. Do you know in hell you will remember? In hell, those who die and go to hell will remember. Thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Remember. I believe that you will remember, number one, all the chances that God gave you to be saved, that you said no. I believe from this passage of Scripture that when he told him to remember, and he brought, and Lazarus was brought to his sight there, I believe with all my heart, and I wouldn't argue with you if you didn't agree with this, but I believe that Lazarus told this rich man about the Lord. I believe he told him about salvation. I believe he told him about heaven. Say, what makes you say that? Because you know what this rich man said when he was in hell? He said, I've got brothers, and they don't need to come here. I don't want them to come here. And who do you want to send? Send Lazarus. Why would he ask to send Lazarus? Because he knew Lazarus knew the answers. He knew Lazarus could be trusted with sharing the truth. He's talking to Abraham. But he didn't ask for Abraham to go. He had a personal experience with Lazarus, and he knew that man could tell him the truth. Send Lazarus. You will remember in hell every invitation that you sat through. You will remember in hell. It breaks my heart this summer when we go out and we knock on doors and we begin to tell people and we ask them about the Lord and we tell them about heaven. And then many times people will say, well, and this is the typical answer you get when you're out soul winning. I hope I'm going to heaven. I like to think I'm going to heaven. And then you look and say, well, listen, I've got great news. The Bible says that you can know that you're going to heaven. You don't have to hope so. You don't have to think so. You can know it. And I can take this book right here in just a few moments and show you how you can know that you have eternal life. And unfortunately, most say, no thanks. And I never get mad at them. Don't ever get bitter at people. How many times did we say no? Many of us multiple times before we got saved. But what I do feel every time the door is shut is your heart breaks, because if that person doesn't get saved, they will never forget this experience. Do you know there are people in hell right now, unfortunately, that remember when someone knocked on their door and God tried to reach them and they said no? You remember. And I believe they're crying out because the torments, but also because the thoughts. You will remember every time. And let's be honest, God gives people so many chances to hear the truth, because He is a God of mercy. He is a God of truth, a God of love, and He continually tries to reach out to people, and those who die and go to hell will remember. And I believe it will be the thoughts of all the chances that we had, but I believe also the thoughts of our own. Look at verse number 26. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I believe also there is great crying out because of the thoughts of all the chances that we had, but also we think those that will be in hell will know their condemnation. They will know that they are eternally, and let me tell you, the torments of hell are awful. And everything I'm describing to you is awful, but this is probably the worst part of hell, is that you will know that you are eternally separated from God. Eternally separated from God. There is no chance of ever being saved once you go to hell. The Catholics teach a false teaching called purgatory. It's not in this book. There is no one going to be delivered from hell and find salvation. They will only find condemnation. And I believe the thoughts of the chances and the condemnation. But then also, and I've already said it, and I don't have to preach it long, but verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Please don't let my brothers come to hell. And I believe that there are many crying out in hell today. There are thousands of souls in hell today that are crying out because of the torment. They are crying out because they realize their chances. They are crying out because they know they are eternally separated from God. But they are also crying out, look at me, because they have people still living on this earth that they do not want to go to that place. And they're crying out. There is a place where there is a great deal of crying, and that's here in this world. There is a place where there is nothing but crying, and that is hell. But there is a place where there will be no crying at all, and that's heaven. In our text of Revelation 21, verse number 4, it says that there will be no more crying. All tears will be wiped away. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know what? There is no more crying in heaven. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. It says there's no more sorrow. In this world that we live in, there's a lot of sorrow. Every week, not some weeks, every week, people contact that are hurting. And I hate it. I wish so much when someone comes and some terrible thing has happened to them because they live in this world, I wish so much that I could fix it, that I could erase it, but I can't. I pick up these kids on Sunday morning. Lily, one of our workers on our bus, she was carrying this little kid back to her house, and the kid held on to Lily, didn't want to go back in her apartment. I wish I could change all this around here. Don't you wish in this world that we could remove all this hurt? Go down to Children's Hospital and make a visit. Boy, you wish you could change and just fix everything. But on this world, there's a lot of crying because of sin. Don't ever forget that. It wasn't God. It was sin. And in hell, there's nothing but crying. But just a few days ago, we're sitting there at the hospital. And Teresa looked at me and said, "I am so done with being sick." And she got big old tears in her eyes. She was just tired. And then a couple Sundays ago, or Saturdays, a week ago, I guess Saturday, Brother Ricky's standing there with the family, and there's tears as a loved one is passing away. But in a moment, for Teresa, God wiped those tears away. And there will never be a hurt again. All those, you know why we keep going out and picking up kids? Because they can get saved. And someday, no matter what they have to face on this earth, someday God will remove all the pain. Amen. God will remove all the suffering and all the bad memories. It will be gone. And I don't know what sorrow may be in your heart, but the fact is this, we all have them. It might be a loved one that we're praying for, we're so burdened for. It might be a sickness in our family or a friend. It might be, you know, a tragedy that has happened. I don't know. Everyone has sorrow. It's part of living in this world. None of us are exempt. But for those that are saved, we have a hope and a promise that one day the tears will be wiped away. One day the sorrow will be no more. One day, pain will be gone. If you're not saved, hell is a place where there is nothing but crying. Oh, my friend, you don't need to go there. God's already paid for it. He's already made a way. He wants to give you an abundant life. An eternal joy. Let's pray, Father.